was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows.
Welcome, 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 my friends. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom and Lori on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you'd like to participate in the show, please feel free to call in. The number is 800-313-9443. Once again, that number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're not sure if Lori is going to be here or not. We're having a little trouble getting through to her on the phone, so if Mike wants to continue to do that. But if that should fail, Mike, I'll ask you to bring Keith Jones from Kansas in with us tonight so I have a little help. We can talk about solutions as well as problems, and hopefully there's some good news which riddled among all this, which is knowledge. That's the good news. We're all hopefully going to learn something tonight in what we call activist radio. And because of his activism as a reporter and a radio talk show host for this show, Tom LaCavara is sitting in jail in Lane County, Oregon. Tom is still languishing 22 out of 24 hours a day in solitary confinement for a victimless allegation, a victimless supposed crime of happening to be in a room where somebody else was in the room carrying a gun. So they're claiming Tom was carrying it because somebody else was. No joke. It's gone that bizarre in the United States. And as Lori displayed on her beautiful show last night, the devotional for Lavoie Finicum, on what should be forevermore referred to as, I would say, either Lavoie Finicum Day or Patriots Day. We don't really have a Patriot Day in this nation, in this country. We don't really have a Patriot Day. We have a 4th of July that seems to glorify the corporate machine and set off a lot of explosions and party a lot, cook hot dogs and eat the ice cream cones. But we need a Patriots Day. Why don't we dedicate yesterday as Patriots Day in honor of Lavoie Finicum? So we want to thank Lori. Yeah. Okay, I guess Lori's with us tonight here. So I wanted to thank Lori for her beautiful show last night, remind people that Tom's still sitting in jail. We're still trying to put the heat on Sheriff Byron Trapp.
I can't hear anything. Am I supposed to hear anything, Mike?
And the vicar's.
Okay,
Lori's,
I was freaking out.
We got you, Lori.
Hi, Sheriff everyone. Lori. How are you?
Good, Lori. Hit it. Take over.
Oh, okay. Well, everyone, I want to thank Eric very much. I'm having some major technical difficulties tonight. Apparently, they didn't want me to speak to you tonight. So I want to thank you very much, Eric, for standing in for me as we tried to get that bugged out. And I appreciate that very much.
No problem.
So, as you know, We are going to actually cover quite a bit of stuff today, Eric. A lot of it is actually some good news.
And always welcome.
Yeah, we like to spread some positive news, right? I always do.
Yes, ma'am.
So I want to say something. I'm going to read a definition, and then I'm going to play something for all of y'all, because I think it is very relevant as to what is going on in the large scope of things as they are happening very quickly around the globe. And I think it really has a lot, and will go with the topics that I am going to cover this evening. Revival, a lot of people think that the word revival is only in reference to something biblical or something on the Christian realm, but it's really not. Revival is an improvement in the condition or strength of something. Improvement, recovery, rallying, picking up, turn for the better, an upturn, an upswing, a resurgence, a revival in the economy, an instance of something becoming popular, active, or important again. A comeback, a reestablishment, reintroduction, restoration, reappearance, resurrection, regeneration, renaissance, and rejuvenation. So with that in mind, I want to dedicate this, because all of our patriots, and Eric, I'm sure you will agree, all of our patriots, people around the globe as well, are fighting in an honest, true, and moral battle of true patriotism for individuals' rights against those that are corrupt and have stolen from the people for more than 100 years, more than 200 years, actually.
Agreed.
So I think that this is very fitting, and I believe that we need to take back that positive energy. So much negative energy is put out into the world, and what you put out, you are going to get back. If you put out negative energy, you are going to get that negative energy back. If you put out positive energy, it is going to come back to you as well. But it also expands, whether it's a negative energy or a positive energy. And we here on Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN, Eric and I, and the many others that have stood in the gap, many hours of prayer for individuals whom have never met us. Never met us. This is the way that I feel things are going. This is where I want to send out some hope. I want to send out some positive energy. I want individuals not to be afraid to speak out and be positive in speaking out. So if you would, Mike, please play LV5. While we're waiting on that to come up, Eric, have you heard of all the news going on?
For centuries,
here we go.
Sets the morbid domain of the prince of the power of the air. Suddenly, a scaly creature disrupts Satan's ghastly existence with an urgent message, and it reads, no dread problem, confidence needed, disaster forecasted. With a disgust and annoyance, this General of Evil agrees to confer with his chief demon lieutenant. This is the story of that encounter.
You may enter.
My Lord Satan.
State your business and make it fast.
Sir, we're having problems of cataclysmic proportions.
Where?
In the East Sector, sir. The damage is vast.
Is there something wrong with my abortion clinics?
Well, no, sir. That's all fine. We kill both.
4,000 unborn a day through, shall we say, surgical removal.
Good.
It's selective breeding. We eliminate human life in the name of convenience, like the Nazis and the Jews and with the government's approval.
Is there a problem with my pet project, television violence?
Sir, it's covered from videos to cartoons. By the time a child graduates high school, he's seen 70,000 murders.
Is this effective enough?
Sir, just watch the news.
Is there a disturbance in my false religion?
Oh, no, sir. Business is booming. Over 40 million are into New Age and Zen. Over 45 million believe in astrology.
Looks like we are catching up.
Yes, sir. Only 50 million claim to be born again.
Is there a problem with business in general?
Sir, we're showing tremendous progress.
Yes.
Teenage runaways, each year a million or more. There's a teen suicide every 90 minutes. And your specialty, drunk driving,
yes,
will claim more lives this year than the whole Vietnam War.
Well, is there a disturbance in... What was that?
Sir, that's the reason all these demons are on crutches and wobbling.
What's going on?
Sir, that's what I've been trying to tell you.
What is that?
Sir, that is our problem.
Only one thing causes warfare of this magnitude.
Then, sir, you know what we are dealing with up there.
Yes, it's some of those sanctified...
tri-blood-bought...
spirit-filled...
saints of God...
actually...
presently on their knees...
in prayer.
Sir, they're literal holy terrors. They bind us, cast us out. Then they do those disgusting charismatic jigs. They quote scriptures like the Son of God. And, sir, if you don't intervene, we all might wind up in a bunch of pigs. Sir, that's the good news. The bad news is the subject of the prayers that threatens our survival. What they're praying for is causing hemorrhaging in the realms of darkness.
The bad news is...
sir... they're praying for revival!
I hate revival. It just erupts. It's hardly controllable. At the Azusa Street outpouring, things got rough.
Yes, sir. And when the charismatic movement hit, sir, we were jumping out of windows. With all of that, untie my bow tie. Who stole my hand this stuff?
I'll come in like a flood.
But they'll say the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against you. It's written in the Word.
I'll form weapons against them.
Sir, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. That's in the Bible too.
Yes, I've heard. I'll hit them with every filthy, lusty thought you can imagine.
But it's written, resist the devil and he must flee.
Obviously, the enemy is taking the battle more seriously than we are.
And that's very dangerous, sir. Especially for me.
It's time to launch my final most vicious attack. I'll remind the saints of their past. How they were liars, cheaters, manipulators, and moochers.
But sir, you know what will happen if you remind the saints of their past.
And what is that?
Sir, they'll just remind you of your future.
Empire Creek.
there is revival in the land. Absolutely. As we fight so many things, I can tell you, there is revival in the land. Nigeria arrested 65 pro-Trump individuals in a rally in Nigeria. According to Yahoo News, the Nigerians, the police in Nigeria on Sunday said that they had arrested 65 people at a demonstration. Give me 1 second here. At a demonstration that was for freedom, independence. And the demonstration was in support for U.S. President Donald Trump, organized by pro-independence activists in the country's south. The rally, which took place on Friday in the southern oil hub of Port Harcourt, was organized to coincide with the billionaire businessman's inauguration as the 45th United States president. It was organized by pro-Bafra group advocating an independent state and in southeastern Nigeria, and was held on the eve of massive demonstrations, of course, against Trump across the globe. Some suspected members of the indigenous people of Bafra stage an unlawful protest in the Port Harcourt metropolis, said Rivers State Deputy Police Chief Ahmed Majai. He said the march was not authorized and had disturbed the public order, with police using tear gas to disperse them. About 65 of them were arrested on suspicion of belonging to the IPOB, which were found to be carrying the movement's flag, he said. The IPOB is a part of a wider secessionist movement that advocates an independent state of Bafra, a region in the southeast Nigeria that unsuccessfully fought for independence in a brutal 3-year civil war that ended in 1970. Posting on Twitter, several pro-Bafra activists claimed that police had brutally attacked unarmed demonstrators and even killed several of them, but there was no way of independently verifying those reports. Early on in the U.S. presidential race, the IPOB threw its support behind Trump in the belief that he would recognize their independence movement. Soon after Britain voted in a referendum in June to leave the European Union, the group pushed for its own version of Brexit from Nigeria that it dubbed Biafrexit. Separatist sentiment has grown over the past 15 months since the arrest of the brother of the IPOB's leader, with activists engaging in bloody clashes with security forces that have been condemned by human rights groups. This is all the way in Nigeria. This is happening around the globe. The old world order is collapsing. And thank God for that. Thank God for the individuals all around the globe who have been fighting against this for the many years and have never given up. I will give you some more examples. As here in the United States of America, President Donald Trump signed the executive order where no more U.S. aid is going to be funding abortions internationally. Obamacare fines are gone. The TPP is gone. Keystone XL pipeline is back, which puts the steel workers back to work and truckers back to work, as well as pipeline builders. It gives us more supply of oil to be independent and not dependent on foreign oil. The Climate Change Global Warming Agenda 21-2030, the EPA, which is now having itself looked into, is gone from the White House website. These are just a few within here in the United States of America. On top of that, I want to share with you some more proof, some more good news showing you, the listener, this is global. This is powerful. This is a revival within the human spirit that I personally don't think that the world has ever seen before. So, the Bank of England has now, the head of the Bank of England, now has had to admit that Brexit is going to hit the EU much harder than it is going to hit the UK. Previously, the head of the Bank of England had stated that the Brexit would destroy the UK's economy. The fact of the matter is, it is the EU and the ones in the IMF that depend on our hard work, not the other way around. So, in this clip that I am going to play you, it is going to be what he said originally, and then compare it with today. Mike, if you would, please play LV3 for our listening audience.
Well, the leader of France's Far Right National Front says the old world order has died. And with Britain's vote to leave the EU, a new world is born.
The first blow to the old order, the trigger element that will create a domino effect in Europe, is the Brexit. A sovereign nation has decided to pass by the agreement of those in power and to decide itself about its fate. The second bang didn't take long. The election of Mr. Trump as President of the United States has caused an even bigger discomfort for the supporters of neoliberalism. I don't say every country has to leave the euro. This is a sovereign choice which has to be respected in every nation. But we have to leave the possibility if a country wants to leave.
Marine Le Pen made the remarks at a gathering of European rightist leaders in the German city of Koblenz. The meeting has been organized by lawmakers of the European Parliament. In addition to Le Pen, several radical leaders, including Dutch anti-Islam politician Geert Wilders, German anti-immigration leader Frank Petri, and Italian anti-EU Matteo Salvini, attended the gathering. Le Pen, who is the FN's candidate for this year's presidential election, told the attendees that the European people will soon rise up.
Okay, that was the wrong one. That was my fault. However, that was about Marine Le Pen. Marine Le Pen is running France. She spoke at the gathering of the European rightists in the German city of Colbans of France. France, the Netherlands, and Germany, all three are speaking out against this. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and play the clip with the head of the Bank of England, where you hear him out of his own mouth, and he admits that really the Brexit is hitting the EU harder than it's hitting the UK. The people of the UK are doing much better now and thriving much better now, even though it's not completely through. The Brexit's not completely through. So what we're going to do is we're going to finish playing Marine Le Pen of France, talking about the old world order. Then we will get to the head of the Bank of England explaining that really the Brexit is going to hit the EU harder than the United Kingdom. So if you would, Mike, go ahead and finish playing the clip of Marine Le Pen.
Wilders, who leads the Netherlands Freedom Party, has predicted that Westerners are awakening and that the patriotic spring of Europe has started. Let's cross over to Paris. Press TV's Ramin Mazahari. Ramin, good to have you with us. Well, let's talk about that patriotic spring of Europe, which was alluded to. Tell me how you're seeing it on the ground there.
Well, you know, everyone has an opinion on the European Union, but I think that we all need to agree on the facts. And the fact is that the European Union has just not brought the prosperity it promised. It has helped to prevent war, possibly, on a very, very, you know, sort of bloodthirsty continent recently. But it's not accurate to say that this is only because of the EU. The Eurozone, too, has not brought the economic prosperity it promised. You judge, you know, recessions are a natural part of capitalism, but you judge a recession by how long and how deep it is, and we're talking about a lost decade here in the Eurozone. So these are undeniable facts, and while the elite may be in favor of these things, the average Frenchman and the average European is not, because they are worse off than before these than when before these things existed. We need to, you know, stress that it's not just the far right that is opposed to the EU and the Eurozone. And the reasons are clear, because the EU has repeatedly ignored democracy. France, for example, in 2005, they rejected the EU constitution, and Sarkozy just worked around it. In places like Italy and Portugal and the UK, austerity policies have been rejected, and they still keep getting implemented. Mm-hmm. Here in France, we've had six straight years of austerity budgets.
When you're talking to people in France and elsewhere in Europe, your feel is that the majority of the people, are they ready, or are they thinking about at least of actually wanting to leave the Eurozone, or how do you see it?
Well, the polls now are between 40% and 50% would vote in favor of leaving. More than 50% want a vote. But I think that what would happen is, you know, we would just look at historical precedent. These numbers are very close to where they were for the UK. And then when the people actually got a chance to seize the historical moment and take back their sovereignty, they took it. So I think that's something that is certainly, we could say it's very likely that's what would happen here.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. Press TV's Ramin Mazahari out of Paris.
And we'll be right back after a couple of words from our network sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
Did you know 40% of all cancer could be prevented? That's a fact. Along with maintaining appropriate body weight and regular exercise, the American Institute for Cancer Research and the USDA confirm that eating 9 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables every day is the key. Now ask yourself, am I at risk? How many servings of fruits and vegetables did I eat today? Balance of Nature has solved this problem and provides an easy and affordable way to consume over 10 servings of 31 different whole fruits and vegetables every day.
Here's microbiologist Dr. Tim O'Neill talking about Balance of Nature.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants. They fight against oxidants that damage the cell's DNA, causing mutations that lead to disease. I don't take any supplementation, but I take Balance of Nature because I know, I've seen it in my lab, and I know that it works. I've seen the immune response increase, I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection. And that, to me, as a scientist, rings so true.
I'm a big supporter of the product. 2 winters ago, I had, between November and March, I had 5 head colds, and each time it was like a 2-week ordeal. Last winter, with your product, I didn't have a single one.
Balance of Nature is celebrating its 20th anniversary by providing you the best offer they've ever given. 2 free months of fruits and veggies and free shipping. Call now for details. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code TALK.
It's the most effective product that I've ever bought in my life, but I should have ordered it like 15 years ago.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
To Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. And we were discussing the revival around the globe. So I would like to play for you now the head of the Bank of England. You will hear what he originally said, and then you're going to hear him now admit, well, Brexit actually hits the EU harder than it hits the UK. Mike, would you go ahead and play that clip?
The head of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, appears to have switched his stance on Brexit. Having been committed to staying in the EU and repeatedly warning the British public of the risks of leaving, he's now flip-flopped and admitted it does not pose the threat he once thought it might. That comes in the wake of recently revised positive growth forecasts.
A vote to leave the European Union could have material economic effects on the exchange rate, on demand, and on the economy's supply potential. Could lead to a materially lower path for growth and a notably higher path for inflation than in the central projections set out in today's monetary or inflation report.
View of the committee, but I think that the financial stability risks around that process are greater on the continent than they are for the UK.
RT's Anastasia Chirkina has more on the story amid growing divisions among Britain's establishment in the wake of the vote to quit the EU.
Here we are seeing the head of the Bank of England pulling quite a 180. If before the referendum it was doom and gloom predictions, then today, 7 months after the vote actually took place, he's saying things are not so bad and that the financial threat or risks are actually something that Europe is going to be facing and not the UK, according to Carney. And of course, this is quite a major U-turn. But we have to keep in mind that he is certainly far from the only big players here in the UK who were beating the drums of fear ahead of the referendum.
Communique is very clear
about the economic dangers and the economic risks.
The brutal truth is that Brexit will be a loss for all of us. There will be no cakes on the table.
Well, Brexit itself, of course, has not yet happened, just the vote itself. But so far, analysts are saying that among the predictions of the Bank of England, it seems that only the drop of the pound sterling has materialized. And we've been speaking to people here in London about what they make in terms of how life is going on after the vote. This is what they told us. Let's take a listen. Your Brexit has worked out well for now?
I think so. For me as a business, it's a good. I think it's better, much better than last year. Pound and euro around similar, so they can buy the same stuff.
Since the pound went down, we had more foreign customers, more tourists.
Definitely spend more money, yeah.
Doesn't hurt the credit card quite so much.
The dollar is stronger, so it makes it easier to spend more here in London.
The big opportunity for English wines is sales to the Far East and to the USA.
And, of course, while it's clear that ahead of the referendum, the so-called end-of-the-world apocalyptic predictions that people were saying would take place the day after the referendum have not yet materialized, but what's going to be interesting, of course, for everybody to watch now is how things are going to pan out once a new relationship between the UK and Europe actually does take a new tangible shape.
All right, so the good news is politicians who are rising for standing for the people for independence are opening up around the globe. And people around the globe are tired. Mike, if you would, go ahead and get LV4 ready. Politicians from France, the Netherlands, and Germany all joined to speak out against the EU elite and the old world order on behalf of freedom. And I would like for you to hear that amazing, amazing speech. Mike, if you would, please play LV4.
The leaders of the biggest anti-establishment parties of Europe have gathered in Germany earlier today. Here are some of the ideas they expressed about how they see the future of the continent then.
We need to rethink and reshape Europe. Patriotism is not the policy of the past, it's the policy of the future.
People are fed up with politically correct elites.
Charlotte Dubensky at the Gathering for us asked a member of the Alternative for Germany party about the prospects for anti-establishment movements in Europe then.
This has been billed as a European counter-summit here in Koblenz, as meetings from anti-establishment parties have met here in the German city to find common ground and to see how they can perhaps support each other in this coming year of important elections in Europe. France, the Netherlands and Germany all go to the polls, and there is a good chance that some of the parties represented here today will do very well at those elections. Let's just take Marie Le Pen. She is the leader of the National Front in France, and the latest polls suggest that she is topping the first round at the presidential election with a 30% popularity vote at the moment. That would take her through to the second round. Or Geert Wilders, the leader of the PVV in the Netherlands, who could, if the polls are right, win that election with 32% majority popularity voting. And here in Germany, the AfD, a party which just a couple of years ago didn't exist, their leader, Franka Perry, is receiving popularity votes of around 13%. So how do these parties explain their popularity?
Our leaders no longer guarantee the basic principles of European democracy. We don't believe the European Union is a leading power any longer. Why is the establishment not asking the people what they are worried about? We are not afraid to ask.
A big change is coming soon, as the European Union has become some kind of religion where no criticism or alternative is allowed. Germany has had an overwhelming flow of migrants, and Chancellor Merkel was so keen to accept them. Thousands were brought to the communities without their consent. How can they accept this? How can we accept increased unemployment and rising insecurity and terrorists coming in among the migrants?
Of course, we're also worried that we're going to be the victims of Islamic terrorism. If we do nothing, we will no longer exist. We now see success is possible, and we welcome the success of Donald Trump in America.
Well, these anti-establishment parties aren't popular with everyone, and there were protests outside in Koblenz on Friday night and again on Saturday as this meeting was taking place. Well, let's find out more about the reaction to those protests. My guest now is Joachim Pohl, who's from the AfD party here in Germany. Thank you very much for joining us. What would you say to the protesters who were here rising up against this meeting?
Well, the protesters were basically the SPD and other organizations which are connected to this leftist party, and so it was more or less a party demonstration against.
Trump was inaugurated as the 45th president of the United States yesterday. There were unprecedented protests across the United States. Do you envision that you will receive similar reactions here in Germany if the AfD does well in this year's elections?
Well, sure, because the establishment is now facing defeat, and they mobilize everything to stop us. And so there will be protests. We are used to protests, to demonstration. We are used to violence on the streets, and I guess this will increase, especially when we are successful on the federal level. We are populists. I don't think this is a negative term. We are addressing the people directly. Many people don't think that this mass immigration, policy of mass immigration, the policy of turning the policy of no borders whatsoever is false. And people are voting for us, which are concerned about the future of this country. We have to see that a lot of these migrants are not coming from Syria. They're coming actually from Morocco, from Algeria, from Tunisia, from Egypt. And some of the countries are countries, vacation countries. And they are coming for just economic reasons. For example, many Germans are spending their holidays in Tunisia, the Tunisian coast. They don't have the right to be here. They are not there's no oppression in their countries, and they are more or less safe, and they have to go back home.
The meeting here hasn't ended. There's more discussions to be had between these anti-establishment parties about how they can work together in the coming months ahead of those elections in the Netherlands, in France and in Germany. And the overwhelming feel from the delegates here is that there is the end of the old politics and this is the dawn of a brand new politics.
Absolutely. Praise God. And in the news, it is showing that Marine Le Pen is maintaining her lead in the latest French presidential election poll. January the 19th of 2017, it was reported that Marine Le Pen had overtaken French presidential favorite François Fallon to become the front runner in the latest first round election poll. The national leader is now polling at 26.5%, a lead of 1.5% over former conservative Prime Minister Fallon. So that, congratulations to France and to the people who want independence. I am thrilled to hear of all of the news around the globe as well as with inside the United States of America. So I also want to tell you some other good news. Some other good news is there is a Democratic representative, Tulsi Gabbard, and the Pentagon confirmed the knowledge of Tulsi Gabbard's trip to meet Assad in Syria. This will definitely become more relevant as I speak. In just a minute, if I can get my computer to quit acting up. So she went to meet President Assad to speak with him in order to be able to find out more from him about fighting the terrorists and what was going on. And this is what the report says out of Breitbart. It states that the Department of Defense... Are you able to hear me, Eric? Okay.
Yes, Lori, no problem.
I apologize, everyone. I'm having extreme technical difficulties, and I thought maybe I had been kicked off of the air at no fault, of course, of our great producer there. I appreciate that. I am having extreme difficulties right now. Anyway, Tulsi Gabbard, she has put a bill before Congress, and while I'm getting my computer back up and running the way that it needs to be running, I'm going to let you hear a clip from, she was interviewed by Tucker Carlson. She is one of the few that realizes that the quote-unquote Syrian rebels that we were, that Obama was funding and helping with arms and training, and people see quote-unquote ISIS driving around in what just so happens to be new little vehicles that appear to be a lot American, right? So this lady, this representative, brought it very clearly into the attention of Tucker Carlson that we've been arming terrorists, and she has put a bill on the floor to force that to stop. Now, lawfully, it's already illegal and unlawful, so why there needs to be another bill is beyond me, because that's actually falls under the treason clause, which we all know. However, she has put a bill before Congress, so I'm going to let that play, and then I will report to you this article that has come out about her meeting with President Assad. Mike, if you could please play LB1.
This is now on set. Congressman, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
So I was just really struck by that. You were one of the very first people he met with. Now, you issued a press release, and I'm sure some of you're a liberal Democrat, I think it's fair to say. Some of your constituents must have been confused. And you issued this statement. You said, I felt it was important to take the opportunity to meet with the president-elect now before the drumbeats of war that neocons have been beating drag us into an escalation of the war to overthrow the Syrian government.
That's right.
What did you mean by that, I guess, beyond what you said? And do you believe that the president-elect agrees with your views on this?
I have long been outspoken about the devastating problems with our U.S. policy, generally on interventionist wars, and very specifically on the need to end our counterproductive regime change war to overthrow the Syrian government. Hundreds of thousands of people have lost their lives, millions of refugees, and the counterproductive result of this has been that these groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups who we proclaim to be our enemy have ended up growing stronger. So understanding that we have a new commander-in-chief coming in, president-elect coming into office very soon, I took the opportunity to be able to get across this message to him. As a veteran, knowing and seeing firsthand the cost of war, I felt it was critical to do my part to try to help influence this new administration and extend this call to action to them to end this counterproductive war that has caused so much devastation.
So what was his response?
It was a very good conversation. He had some very good questions, and he was very receptive to the message that I was bringing. And frankly, this is an area that is not partisan. This is an issue that both Democrats and Republicans should get behind to stop arming terrorists, to stop this action that has not only caused devastation, but again, it has resulted both directly and indirectly strengthening those whom we are supposed to be trying to defeat.
Right. Well, actually, there's bipartisan disagreement with you, as you well know. So your bill is called Stop Arming Terrorists. You've introduced it. And your idea, as I understand it, is, look, the average American, you, me, not allowed to send weapons or aid terror groups.
We would be thrown in jail.
But the U.S. government, as a matter of policy, arms and aids these groups for a bunch of different reasons. But that's happening.
Well, and this is the problem, Tucker, is that there's a double standard here. That for years now, our government, working with countries like Saudi Arabia, Turkey and Qatar, have been, through the CIA, quietly been arming and supporting these groups that are directly working with groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, all in this effort to overthrow the Syrian government. They've been funneling support through countries like Saudi Arabia and others who are also, again, directly supporting these groups. This is madness that this has been allowed to occur for so long, and madness that we have allowed the devastating consequences to occur as a result without checking it. And that's exactly what my bill does. The Stop Arming Terrorists Act very simply prohibits using American taxpayer dollars through any agency, overt or covert, whether it be the CIA, the DOD, or any other agency, from directly or indirectly providing weapons, money, intelligence, or other types of support to these groups that are allied with and working with groups like Al-Qaeda, as this is happening right now today in Syria.
Well, you obviously haven't been listening to some famous members of the Senate who've described those groups as freedom fighters, and you just don't understand how great they are.
Clearly. This is the problem, though, Tucker, is that only recently, this has been happening for years, but only recently has have a few people in the media actually started talking about the truth of what we have been doing, right, about how our taxpayer dollars have been spent there. And this fallacy that there are so-called moderate fighters trying to overthrow the Syrian government just is not the reality today.
When
it
you
doesn't
see
exist.
U.S. weapons in the hands of Islamic extremists and terrorists, you have to ask how that happened. And I'm glad you're asking that.
Yeah. Well, we're asking it. We're trying to solve it. So, you know, I'm urging your viewers. We're trying to urge every member of Congress to sign on to this very sensible bill that is good for our country and good for our security.
Well, Godspeed.
Thank you. Thanks. Aloha.
All right. So as you heard out of her mouth, she is now exposing it. Mainstream, lamestream, fake news has known for years that Obama, Hillary Clinton, even when she was in the State Department, has known for years that they have been arming terrorists. They have been trying and purposely and intentionally trying to expand the Muslim Brotherhood. Didn't work out quite so well in Egypt when the people said, heck no, and thank goodness Mohamed Morsi is sitting in a prison where he belongs right now while al-Sisi restored and backed the people. So Representative Gabbard met Syrian. They call him a dictator. You know, really, he's president. In Damascus. A Pentagon spokesman tells Breitbart News the DOD knew of the visit but did not organize any aspect of it. I can confirm that the Department of Defense officials were aware of Representative Gabbard's travel but played no role in organizing her trip. U.S. Marine Corps Major Adrian Rakeen Galloway, a DOD spokesman, told Breitbart News. Regarding whether the administration of President Donald Trump approves of her meeting with Assad, the Pentagon referred Breitbart News to the White House, which did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Gabbard did not inform Democratic leaders of her decision to meet with a dictator against whom the State Department, under President Obama, sought a war crimes investigation. Yes, that's because Obama was the enemy of Bashar al-Assad, because they wanted to overthrow the rightful president once again. Her trip raises concern over potential violation of the Logan Act, a federal measure that prohibits individuals from holding discussions with a foreign government involved in a dispute with the United States. The United States has no diplomatic relations with Syria, which is officially listed as a state sponsor of terrorism by the State Department. How amazing is that? A state sponsor of terrorism by the State Department, yet Syria has not attacked us, but links to our ally, Saudi Arabia, and other places have been linked, and they're not considered a state sponsor of terrorism. That is my comment. That is not in the article. The U.S. State Department also declined to comment, and I just wanted to say something about the Logan Act as well. The Logan Act, many members of the Logan Act have been violated on many times by meetings over at Bilderberg with many of our high-up individuals, as well as, I'm not sure if it would fall under it, but it would definitely be something to look into because at one point when Obama was president. He was also on the UN Security Council, which would not have been in, it would have been a conflict of interest. I don't know if it would have been a violation of the Logan Act, however. Okay, so Representative Gabbard, a military combat vet who continues her service in the U.S. military as a major in the Army National Guard, defended her fact-finding trip to Syria and meeting with dictator Assad, arguing that the dictator could help in the fight against the Islamic State, ISIS-ISIL, and the five-year-old Syrian civil war. It's not a civil war. It's people who are sent in. Originally, I had no intention of meeting with Assad, but when given the opportunity, I felt it was important to take it. I think we should be ready to meet with anyone if there's a chance that it can help bring about an end to this war, which is causing the Syrian people so much suffering, she said in a statement. Gabbard refers to Assad as president, not a dictator, and I agree with Gabbard on that. Assad won an election in 2014 with 89% of the vote as the country was deep in its civil war, and critics complained that the election was a sham and did not represent the will of the Syrian people. I would just personally like to know how they know or have any idea what the will of the Syrian people are in the first place. It certainly is not their will for people coming in from other countries and beheading 12-year-old children and women and men. All right. So whatever you think about President Assad, the fact is that he is the president of Syria. This is a quote, by the way. In order for any peace agreement, in order for any possibility of a viable peace agreement to occur, there has to be a conversation with him, she told CNN. Quote, the Syrian people will determine his outcome and what happens with their government and their future, unquote. I agree. Echoing comments by the Syrian leader that the United States is backing terrorists in the Middle East, Representative Gabbard declared after her trip, the U.S. must stop supporting terrorists who are destroying Syria and her people. The U.S. and other countries fueling this war must stop immediately. We must allow the Syrian people to try to recover from this terrible war, unquote. Quote. And on that note, we'll hear a couple of words from our sponsors and we'll be back with some more good news.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.